Welcome to another deep dive. This time, we're looking at teaching learning goals and objectives. You know, it's something super practical for anyone who's involved in corporate training, really. Our listeners sent in some fantastic resources about instructional design, and well, we're here to kind of sift through it all and figure out the best stuff, the most useful advice for creating training. Training that actually makes a difference, you know? Training that sticks.
Yeah, for sure. It's not just about, like, you know, throwing information at people, right? We want to actually see them change their behavior, actually using what they learned back on the job.
Exactly. So we have two main sources we're looking at today, the course design primer for LMS administrators, and then this designing and teaching learning goals and objectives book. The primer sounds like it's really hands-on, very practical, while the other one seems, I don't know, maybe a bit more theoretical. What are your thoughts on these two?
I think they work really well together. So the course design primer, that one's awesome for like a clear roadmap for designing a course. And then designing and teaching, that one really goes deep into the cognitive science part of it, you know, how people actually learn.
Interesting. Okay, well, let's start with the practical stuff then. The course design primer talks about this thing called a terminal learning objective, or TLO. Can you break that down for us a bit?
Yeah. So the TLO, it's basically like the ultimate outcome. Like, what should someone be able to do after finishing the course, something they couldn't do before? And we're talking about doing something concrete here, not just understanding something. Imagine teaching someone how to bake a cake. The TLO wouldn't be learn about cake baking. It'd be like, bake a delicious multi-layered cake from scratch.
Okay, I see what you mean. It's about actually using the knowledge, not just having it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And to make sure you can actually measure that TLO, it needs to be really specific. The primer actually uses this really cool example with washing dishes. They break it down into the condition, the task, and the standard. So the condition is a sink full of dirty dishes. The task is to get rid of all the food bits, and the standard is that all the food has to be gone, not just, like, most of it.
I like that. So we have to be laser-focused when we're designing training, right?
Absolutely. Designing and teaching learning goals and objectives, that one really stresses this point, too. Vague goals get you vague results. So think about, let's say, sales training. Instead of saying the goal is to learn about the new product, a good specific TLO would be more like give a 5-minute presentation on the product, hit the key features, benefits, and, you know, handle 3 common objections customers might have.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that paints a much clearer picture.
Right. You can actually imagine someone doing that.
For sure. So this specificity helps us design the whole training around that outcome then, right?
Exactly. It helps keep things focused, and it makes sure that, you know, how you're assessing people is actually lined up with the goal.
That makes a lot of sense. So speaking of assessing people, how do enabling learning objectives, ELOs, fit into all of this? The course design primer mentions them as building blocks to get to that TLO, right?
Yeah. Think of it like, you know, stepping stones across a river. Each ELO is a skill or a bit of knowledge that's got to be mastered to get to the other side. The TLO is waiting on the other side, and you can't just skip a stone. You need all of them.
So if we stick with our sales training and that 5-minute presentation is the TLO, one ELO could be about understanding the product features, another one how to deal with objections, and then, I don't know, maybe another one focused on presentation skills.
Yeah, exactly. And it's important to remember you shouldn't be teaching things you're not assessing. You know, keep your training focused and on point. Actually, designing and teaching talks about this too. It says that your assessments need to match up with the cognitive level of each learning objective. They talk about something called the new taxonomy of educational objectives, which basically gives you a way to think about all those different levels.
Okay, can you give us an example of how that works, the alignment you were talking about?
Sure. So let's say in leadership training, one of your ELOs is about giving constructive feedback. Just giving people a multiple choice quiz, you know, testing them on feedback models and all that, that wouldn't be enough. You need to actually see them give feedback. Maybe in a role-playing scenario or something, that way you're actually assessing that skill.
Right. So the assessment, it has to mirror how the skill is actually used, not just testing if they know the theory.
Exactly. And that brings us to another important distinction from designing and teaching, the difference between declarative and procedural knowledge.
Oh, okay. I'm interested. Tell me more about that.
All right. So declarative knowledge is, you know, knowing the what's and the why, like being able to explain a concept, a theory, that sort of thing. Procedural knowledge is more about the how and when, actually being able to do something, perform a task.
Okay, so with our sales training example, knowing like the features and benefits, that would be declarative, but then knowing how to handle a specific objection or actually giving the presentation, that'd be procedural.
Exactly. And here's the thing. A lot of corporate training really focuses on procedural knowledge, you know, teaching steps and processes and all that, which is important. But
we also need to understand the why behind it all.
Yes. Understanding the why makes for deeper learning. It helps people use that knowledge in new situations instead of just blindly following a script.
I see. So it's not enough to just teach them the steps for handling a price objection, for example. We need them to understand why customers might be sensitive about price and how talking about the value can help overcome that objection.
Exactly. And that kind of deeper understanding is tied to the idea of metacognition, which is basically thinking about your own thinking.
Okay, that sounds pretty complex. How can we actually build metacognition into our training programs?
Yeah, we'll dig deeper into that a bit later. But the main point is, we want our trainees to be active thinkers, not just passively taking in information. So we need to move away from just simple knowledge checks and give them opportunities to analyze things, apply what they've learned, and actually reflect.
And I have a feeling engagement plays a big role in that too, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. And our sources have some really interesting insights on that as well.
Perfect. Well, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll explore some of those engagement strategies and see how we can make learning stick long after the training's over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've been talking about, you know, making our learning objectives super clear and specific and all these different types of knowledge we got to think about. But how do we make sure that our trainees actually, you know, connect with all of this? I mean, we've all been through those trainings that are just so boring, you know, the check the box kind that you just completely forget about as soon as you're done.
Oh, absolutely. Engagement is key. And it's not just about fancy tech or gimmicks, you know. Designing and teaching makes a good point. Learning works best when it's kind of like the real world. Like, it reflects how complex things really are.
So ditch the boring lectures and multiple choice quizzes then? What are some better options?
Well, think about things like simulations, role-playing, case studies, maybe even group projects. These all give people a chance to use what they've learned, get some feedback, and make adjustments, all in a safe environment.
Right, like practicing a sales pitch with a colleague before you have to do it with a real client. You get to work out the kinks and get more confident. But how do we make sure these activities are actually helping people meet those learning objectives?
Both of our sources really emphasize clear communication, like throughout the whole training process. Trainees need to know what's expected of them, how they're being assessed, and what success looks like.
So it's not just like set it up and forget about it. We need to check in regularly, give progress reports, maybe even get some peer feedback going.
Right? Oh, exactly. It's about creating a culture of continuous learning, you know, always improving. And don't forget about celebrating those milestones and acknowledging people's progress. Positive reinforcement goes a long way.
For sure. Now, the course design primer, it goes into this thing called Malcolm Knowles' Principles of Andragogy, which is all about how adults learn best. What are some of the key takeaways there?
Well, Knowles really highlights that adults are intrinsically motivated. They need to understand why they're learning something, how it connects to their work, their goals, the challenges they face.
So it's more about tapping into their desire to grow, to make a difference, more than just points and badges. So how do we bring that intrinsic motivation into our training design?
That's where the idea of robust tasks comes in, from designing and teaching. Give your trainees real-world challenges to wrestle with, not just theoretical exercises.
Okay, so instead of just talking about conflict resolution in general, for example, we could have participants analyze a real conflict from their own department and come up with a plan to address it.
There you go. Robust tasks really get their brains working. They have to think critically and use what they've learned.
I'm starting to get a picture of a much more engaging and effective training experience here. But earlier we touched on metacognition. How does that fit into all of this?
Good question. Remember, metacognition is about being aware of your own thought process, understanding how you learn best.
Right, but how do we actually put that into our training programs?
Well, first, be upfront about the thinking that's involved in each activity. Don't just tell them what to do, explain why they're doing it, and how they can use those mental processes in other situations.
So instead of just teaching the steps of a problem-solving process, for example, we could have them break down the logic behind each step and talk about how that logic could be applied to different kinds of problems.
Exactly. Another important strategy is to give them chances to reflect and assess themselves. Encourage them to think about how they're learning, what's working, what challenges they're running into, and what strategies they can use to get better.
So things like journaling, group discussions, Maybe individual coaching sessions could be helpful.
Yes. And finally, create a learning environment that supports this whole metacognition thing. Encourage people to ask questions, challenge assumptions, experiment with different ways of doing things.
So it's about building a culture of curiosity and continuous learning, not just memorizing things and following steps blindly.
Precisely. And this leads us to another cool idea from the course design primer that helps solidify learning: spaced repetition.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. It has something to do with how our brains forget stuff over time, right?
Right. The primer talks about the Ebbinghaus forgetting curve, which basically shows that we forget most of what we learn really quickly if we don't actively try to remember it.
So spaced repetition, it's like a workout for our brains. Mm-hmm. We revisit the material at certain times to strengthen those neural connections and make the learning stick.
Exactly. The primer suggests going over things again within 24 hours after training, and then at spaced intervals for the next 30 days. It could be short quizzes, refresher activities, or even just a quick email with the main points.
And technology can play a big part here, right? Things like learning management systems, those spaced repetition apps, or even automated email reminders.
Absolutely. Tech can make this follow-up strategies much easier and provide that ongoing support. But it's not all about the tech, right? Managers and leaders play a huge role in making sure people actually use what they've learned.
You're right. It's about bridging that gap between the classroom and the real world, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
What can managers do to make sure their teams are actually putting that new knowledge and those skills to work?
Well, managers need to create a work environment that encourages and rewards people for using what they've learned.
So that could mean giving them chances to practice, providing feedback, mm-hmm. even just talking about the training and how it relates to the team's goals.
Exactly. It's about building a culture where learning is valued and part of everyday work. And remember, this all starts with those well-defined learning objectives. Everything else flows from there.
So to sum up, we've covered a ton in this deep dive. We talked about specific learning goals, different types of knowledge, ways to keep people engaged, metacognition, and even how spaced repetition and support from managers can help make learning stick.
Yeah, it's been a lot. But I think the main takeaway is this. Effective learning, it's a journey, not a destination. It's an ongoing thing that needs effort, commitment, and being open to new ideas and ways of doing things.
Well said. It's not just about checking a box and moving on. Now, before we wrap up, I want to circle back to something we mentioned earlier. The idea of, using different cognitive systems in our training. The idea from designing and teaching learning goals and objectives. I have to admit, I'm not quite sure how that actually works in a real training session.
Yeah, it's super interesting. Basically, we have different cognitive systems for different ways of learning, like one system for learning facts and procedures, and then a whole separate system for learning through experience and problem solving, you know?
Oh, interesting. So we should be trying to use multiple systems during training then. How would we even do that?
Exactly. Designing and teaching suggests that when we use multiple cognitive systems, it makes for a much richer learning experience. Mm-hmm. People understand things better and they remember it longer.
Okay, I think I'm starting to get it. So instead of just lecturing about a new software program, we could also have them do a hands-on exercise, you know, actually using the software to solve a problem.
Yeah.
So they're getting that declarative knowledge, but also using their problem-solving skills at the same time.
Perfect example. You're engaging both systems, the factual knowledge and the problem-solving one. You're creating more connections in the brain, and the learning is reinforced in multiple ways.
So it's not just about variety to keep things interesting. It's about actually making the learning stick.
Exactly. And this links back to that metacognition idea we were talking about. When we encourage people to think about how they're learning, what systems they're using, what strategies work best for them, they become much more self-directed, more adaptable learners.
This is all making so much sense. We're not just delivering information anymore. We're actually creating these transformative learning experiences.
That's the goal. And remember, all of this is connected, you know, specific learning objectives, engaging different cognitive systems, fostering metacognition. They all work together. It's a holistic approach to training that gets real results.
Wow, we've covered so much ground today.
Mm-hmm.
But before we wrap up, is there any last bit of advice from our sources that you think is especially important?
Both sources really stress the importance of evaluating and constantly improving things. Don't just assume your training is perfect once you've designed it. Get feedback from the participants, keep track of their progress, analyze the data, and be open to making changes as you go.
So it's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. We're always learning and getting better.
Exactly. And that's a great mindset to have, not just for designing training, but for learning anything in life.
That's a great point. Well, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive into teaching learning goals and objectives. We explored tons of great advice and insights from the course design primer for LMS administrators and designing and teaching learning goals and objectives.
And these were just a few highlights. I really encourage you to check out the full sources and dig in deeper.
Think about what really resonated with you, what questions you still have, and most importantly, how can you use all of this to create those impactful, engaging learning experiences for your team?
It's been great joining you for this deep dive.
Thanks for being here. And until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep diving deeper.